Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
We're staying in the realm, of course, of cancer. We're looking more specifically at childhood cancer, young children and teenagers who are faced with this journey from such a young age. And there's always a team of doctors and nurses and people out there who are supporting these children along the way. And CHOC, of course, being the main one here in South Africa, the CHOC standing for Childhood Cancer Foundation South Africa. And I have Hedley Lewis, who is the CEO, on the show today. We're going to be talking about Flip-Flop Day that's happening tomorrow, but also very specifically about CHOC and the hugely important role that they play in these young children's lives here in South Africa. Hedley, welcome, and thank you so very much for joining us.
Hi, Nikki. Thanks so much for having us on your show. It's always a privilege, and most importantly, to share awareness, education, and guidance in order to augment the medical fraternity.
Yeah, that it is, Hedley. Now, I mean, you spent a lot of time in corporate, in the space of the power of the private sector, and then you've moved into this NGO space. You're driven to help, and quite specifically children. So before we get to CHOC, just tell us a little bit about that journey. That's quite an interesting journey for you.
Thanks so much. I think that the one thing I always say is no person is self-made. And I think my journey started off really, obviously, I started studying and then I worked for Vodacom. And I think that what I saw at Vodacom is their love and their heart for the nonprofit sector in order to empower them to help South Africa. And while I was at Vodacom, I got to have the opportunity to be mentored by the likes of Shamil Yusuf, Kevin Carlisle, and various individuals. And then I also had the opportunity to sit on the Vodacom Foundation on behalf of the staff themselves. So all voting and discussions on NGOs was really done within this board. And I was given one of the opportunities to be part of the board as a decision maker. And then I think that as the journey got on, I met a wonderful gentleman, Dr. Ivan May, and he said to me that he feels that my love is in the NGO sector, and I never really thought much about it. But quite a while after that, I was approached, and there were opportunities at the Heber Kadisha, and it was really a privilege. Another mentor of mine is obviously Saul Thompson and the likes of Colin Datno, and spending quite a considerable amount of time learning about the sector, uplifting the sector, and obviously within the Jewish population, I got my opportunity to give back there. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I had the opportunity to move to the Smile Foundation, where I spent 10 years of giving, of understanding, of augmenting and working with government, and having the opportunity once again to have another set of mentors, which was led by Mr. Mark Lubner and the board there. And today I proudly sit as in the position at CHOC. Once again, children, uplifting South Africa, but most importantly, to know that every time that I get up every morning, that I have the opportunity to change a life, but doing it in partnership with professionals and experts.
What a great thing to be able to say, and I know that you've got young kids, and what a incredible example you're setting, Hedley. But let's look at CHOC. For those people who've never heard of CHOC and the work that you do, perhaps you can give us a breakdown.
Absolutely. So CHOC is a nonprofit organization founded just over 42 years by a nurse who wanted to give back, who wanted to support. And then a group of volunteers that really came on board and said that within childhood cancer, there's so much need, there's so much augmentation, but they also found that going through the journey can be very lonely. Hence why CHOC really supports family, really from early diagnosis until the very end of the journey, regardless of that direction. For us, we have four real platforms. One is the emotional and the psychosocial environment, and we have social workers that are employed and full-time placed at 13 state institutions and hospitals across the country. We have volunteers that augment the psychosocial. And then what do we do directly with these families and these patients, supplying them with accommodation in 13 houses across the country, 21 vehicles, taking the families up and down to the hospitals on a daily basis, spending $750,000 bringing families from across the country in order to get this treatment. And then another thing is small things, but just as important, to the likes of a care bag, showing these families that is not just about the anxiety and the hardships, but sometimes their toys and their games, and they're just small things to just brighten up their child's future, as well as toothbrushes and toothpaste, which are necessary for the journey. And then lastly, within this category, unfortunately, children do pass away. And just as our social workers travel that journey with them, a lot of the time to be able to make phone calls or start the process or bereavement, we have a bereavement fund, so every family gets R500 there. The other area is really around advocacy, and we do a lot of policy discussions with government, with states, with the hospitals, and a lot of interaction with the actual experts. And I think the most important thing about CHOC is to know is that we're not the actual specialists, we're augmenters. So we have to pay tribute to the pediatric oncologists, the nurses, the social workers, the hospital environments, just to name a few. And then finally, another big foundation is about education, education, education. One of the main themes that we're finding is that people don't know what are the items to look out for, what are the signs to look out for, because the earlier the diagnosis, the earlier the referral, the better the prognosis. And that is coupled with the likes of nutrition, with food and accommodation that we've mentioned. So I hope that just gives you just a tinge of what CHOC really does on a daily basis.
You have indeed, Hedley, and wow, and what an incredible job CHOC does in supporting children with childhood cancer around the country. Hedley, we're going to take a quick break, a quick ad break, and we'll continue after the break. I want to expand on this education that you spoke about, how important it is, certainly for early detection, because I know that, you have some kids who stay at these different homes. I think you said there were 13 of them around the country. A lot of them are away from their families. And then basically, if there is a recovery, they're then sent home. And just the part that education plays once they are sent home. We'll speak to that. A quick break and we'll be right back.
Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Thank you so much for staying with us. This is the DL Link Show, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. And on the line, I have Hedley Lewis, who is the CEO of CHOC. And Hedley, before the break, was outlining, all the work that CHOC does. And so Hedley, just before the break, I asked you the question, just expanding on the education. Obviously, the education is so important in terms of early detection, correct eating, looking out for certain signs. For those children who come along and they stay in your different homes, I've visited the one in Saxonwold, which is just so amazing and warm and beautiful. When kids are sent back home, how far-reaching is that education in terms of going back to their communities and being able to help their communities and also their parents with, moving forward on that journey?
Nikki, I just want to take 2 seconds, just a quick step back. And I think that before that is just to understand that before that, there's a great amount of education on educating the public and those various signs that we can talk about. When it comes to children that are going through the journey of cancer, the psychosocial team play a big role. The members in the house are playing a big role. And there's a lot of subliminal teaching as well. So you talk about nutrition. I mean, we are on an annual basis of feeding and plating probably 90,000 meals just to the families within the houses. And that's without giving them food to take home. That's without giving them food maybe to go to their hospitals as well. And why I bring that up is they get to see what's nutritional, what's not nutritional, what to try and prioritize. Obviously, we have to understand that economic times plays a huge role. And sadly, with cancer, you know, when the family is going through this incredibly tough environment, they often have children at home, they have spouses, and sometimes one of the spouses or the guardians actually has to stop working so that they can journey with their child. So when it comes to nutrition, there's a lot within the house. The hospital is very instrumental about talking about these things and that environment, but also the anxiety of dealing with the anxiety and dealing with a cancer and post-cancer is a lot of instrumental discussions that happen between the comprehensive and multidisciplined team, as well as the social worker that we place in the hospitals on a daily basis. So there's a huge process of preparing them, hopefully, that they can go home with knowledge and with the understanding.
Right. Right. Hedley, perhaps we can talk about people who volunteer, because you have, there's a huge room for people who want to volunteer for CHOC and again, the impact that they have for those people listening.
Absolutely. So volunteerism is the founder and has been the founding, and it's one of the common themes we have. And if you have a look at all the board levels, we have volunteers. But I think just as important in the volunteerism, before COVID, we had a huge number of volunteers across the country that would visit the wards, help the children, allow them to read a bit of education on times. But most importantly, just to show that there's someone there with it. You know, mm-hmm. Sadly, as I was saying, we hope that there's always a patient or a guardian that sits side by side with these families, but sometimes not always. And that's when the volunteer comes in. When the family just feels down, you've got a volunteer. Often some of these volunteers are also people that have gone through the journey. So that mother-to-mother communication or the parents' communication. So volunteerism within the hospitals and within the houses, sadly, because of COVID, that had to come to a standstill in order to protect the patients as well as protect the public. But we are hoping momentarily that's going to be lifted, and we are gearing up and preparing for it. Because, as I said, sometimes this journey can be lonely. And people say, well, I can be lonely if you've got oncologists and doctors and nurses. Sometimes it's just about hearing from others. And then obviously the most well-known volunteers are obviously the CHOC cows that do comrades and running and cycling and the most phenomenal things. And they volunteer on every time that they do an event in order to participate as well with us.
You talk about the journey could be lonely. It's kind of, you know, it's what the DL Link does as well. It's that filling that space of being there and supporting and holding while on that journey. So that not having that must have been very challenging, Hedley, over the past couple of years because of COVID. Also, I'm sure the impact has been, a negative impact has been the fundraising. There's so much more that is needed from so many NGOs around the country, charities looking for funds. Are you finding it particularly challenging at the moment?
So, I mean, you brought up the DL Link. I mean, CHOC partners with all NGOs within the childhood cancer environment. And one of the key things that we've been able to do for the other NGOs is we've had our social workers, the things that have had to get into the hospital to get to the patients, we've been able to join the dots. I think that across the country, I think globally, NGOs have felt a huge impact. I mean, the one thing I can say is during COVID, we closed the houses for, I think it was 9 or 10 days. And then the hospitals really said that we need to reopen it. And our staff became the frontline staff to these patients, other than the social workers and definitely the medical fraternity that have fought this cancer disease, but also been fighting COVID. So for in that sense, it's been difficult. I mean, CHOC used to have huge events that used to bring in material amounts of money, and sadly those events have been put on hold. Yeah. And the one thing that we've noted is that just because of COVID, we couldn't stop helping cancer families that have children with cancer. So we've had to pull through, but we really appreciated that our donors, that the public have really dug deep and helped us to continue making sure that no program, but we have had to If there weren't priority programs, we've had to pause them and things like that. And I think now that that we're seeing a brighter future, which we're hoping. I mean, it's still difficult as you look at the COVID terrain, but things are definitely brighter. And we're calling on South Africa to say, it's not about millions, it's not about hundreds of thousands. Every single rand can make a difference. And most importantly, you may never know who you're going to help. You may never know the child, but your 10 rand or 50 rand can make is a small amount, in your opinion, can make a big impact in someone else's life.
Absolutely. So as you say, it's getting brighter and certainly hotter here in Joburg, we're delighted to say, which means flip-flops, you know, take off shoes and put on flip-flops. And that's what we're doing tomorrow, being the 18th of Feb, is Chock Flip-Flop Day. Tell us about it. And I love that, as you said, small amounts add up and you can change a child's life. Tell us more, Hedley.
Absolutely. So I just want to start off by saying that a lot of people seeing it as a lighthearted event, and it really is. It's an exciting day. It's something that a child of any age can participate, a CEO of any age, and the general public. We've seen thousands of people across the country really stepping up and getting excited. But the important, and there's a really an important message, is that the reason that flip-flops were chosen was for two reasons. One is that there's always got to be two. And where you've got the medical fraternity and you've got the patient, we believe as the public, we need to play their part. And that's why there needs to be a pair. And the second thing that we are very, very committed in saying is that it takes the medical fraternity and the NGO sector really to support these families. And just as we walk, these families are walking a very long journey. It's a very tough journey and an anxious journey. And we really say to everyone that is getting in the flip-flops, run, jump, climb, enjoy the day, but just realize that it's difficult for these families as well. I mean, that for us, the flip-flops are exciting. It's about summer, it's bright, and everyone can take an important message from it. And yes, once again, we're saying that small amounts of 10 rand can really group and become something really large and have a maximum and a huge impact.
So it's a bright, beautiful day, but it's not a flippant day, is what you're saying, Hedley. Let's take a quick break. After the break, just give us an idea of how people can get involved. So don't go anywhere, Hedley, please.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
You are listening to The DL Link Show, where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. I have Hedley Lewis on the show, CEO of Chock. Tomorrow is the Flip-flop day, being the 18th of Feb. Very quickly, Hedley, how can people get involved if they'd like to?
Absolutely. So obviously, we wanted to get to the general public. So at this stage, anyone that wants to buy a virtual sticker can go on the website and you can buy virtual stickers. But just as importantly, there's Tackytown, there's P&A that are selling the actual stickers, and they're available across the country. But the other areas, we've seen a huge support from the schools, from the Mini City Council in Joburg and across the country. So anyone that wants to get involved, either our website, Tackytown, P&A are all selling it. And then if anyone else wants, they can call the regional houses in order to purchase stickers as well.
Hedley, thank you so much. We appreciate